Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by 1000 Maniacs. Do you want to get your first 1000 email subscribers? Find out exactly what they want and create and launch a product to them? Then I want to teach you exactly how to do this. Join 1000 Maniacs if you are tired of experts telling you to build a list, develop a product, but never telling you how to do that? Yeah, me too. Well, 1000 Maniacs is your how-to against a sea of vague strategies. This step-by-step course will walk you through exactly how I went from zero to 1000 email subscribers, and I'll show you how to build your first product and sell it to them. 1000 Maniacs will only be open for a very short period of time at the end of March. So get on the pre-launch list now. Go to 1000maniacs.com, get your full checklist that walks you through every single step from getting your very first maniac to 1000, finding out what it is they want, building them a product, and launching it to them. Go to 1000maniacs.com.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today went from unemployed, recently divorced, and living with her parents to building a $500,000 business in just 2 years. After hitting rock bottom 2 years ago, she decided to not use her current position to hold her back. Instead, she used it as a catalyst for change. And change she did. She has created a brilliant personal brand, has built up a raving fan base, and coaches female digital entrepreneurs that want to blow up their businesses. She's been featured in Forbes, Business Insider, The Huffington Post, and countless other publications. And today, she is gracing us with her presence. Now, let's hack Jen Scalia. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, GoToWebinar. When you are trying to create demand for your business, you need a cost-effective way to reach your target audience and generate qualified leads for your sales team. With GoToWebinar, you can present to hundreds with confidence. Whether you are a startup or a company operating worldwide, GoToWebinar can help you connect, captivate, and convert your target audience. Pick a compelling topic, select your audience, and schedule your event. With automated emails, custom branding, and practice sessions, GoToWebinar makes getting ready easy. When your event is live, keep attendees engaged with interactive polls, live chat, and you can respond to feedback in real time. And once your event is over, you're only a click away from reporting on registration, attendance, and performance metrics of your event. GoToWebinar enables marketers like you to easily reach your target audience and turn leads into customers. Get started with GoToWebinar today to connect and convert. Visit GoToWebinar.com to start your 30-day free trial. That's GoToWebinar.com. And we are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very, very special guest. Jen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
Absolutely, my pleasure. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
I hope so.
Jen, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I love this question. I really feel like what it is that I've done that has helped me kind of stand out and be successful in my niche is just being really relatable and being really vulnerable. So I am just like a natural storyteller and I love sharing my story. I've had ups and downs. I've had struggles. When I actually started this journey, I was going through a divorce, debt, depression, and I was able to really fight past those things to come out on top. And I really feel that by sharing my story and being vulnerable with other people, that, you know, potential clients or people that follow me really see me as being relatable, and they also see themselves in me, and they see possibilities for them because of that, because of the relatability. So I really think that that's what draws people to me.
And all right, so that's really interesting. And I think you're completely right. Is this something that you did you see somebody else doing this and that it worked for them? Or was this like, have you always just been open with everyone and it just happened to really click online when you came online?
I feel like it definitely clicked. I think one of the things I noticed for myself was that the people that I started following, like in the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey, they were people that were just like me. So, you know, instead of looking to the people that were, you know, gurus and the experts, like I was always looking for people who were within reach. So people who were like me that I could actually see them creating success instead of somebody that was like a celebrity or a guru that it was like, oh, it's just them. You know, they're able to do that because they have these advantages. So it kind of started there. You know, I really started looking at the people around me and following people that were just a few steps ahead of me. And that's kind of, you know, how it evolved into me kind of doing the same thing, is just not to be so far out of reach for the people that wanted to work with me, but really relatable to them and really having them know that I understand where they are, where they've been, and where they can go.
Nice. Can you tell us one of those people?
Oh, yeah.
That you followed at the beginning? I'd like to know their names. Yeah. I'm sure people listening are like, well, who are these people?
Yeah. So one of them that just, you know, definitely comes to mind was one of my very first mentors. And her name is Rebecca Dixon. And it was funny because I had watched her. I'd seen her in, you know, online a couple times. And I didn't really, you know, at first know the capacity of like what she would do for me and in my life. But I started watching her and I saw her grow and I saw her boom her business so quickly. Like, I believe she went from like 0 to 7 figures in like 7 months. And I was just like, holy crap. I was like, if she can do that, I can do it. And I always go with that mentality, like when I see somebody, and that's why I said like somebody who's, you know, within reach rather than looking at somebody like Marie Forleo, even though I do admire her as well, or, you know, John Lee Dumas, or like these people that I don't really understand or know to be on my level at some point. Whereas like this woman, Rebecca, I saw that she was kind of where I was at, and she was able to just make huge shifts and huge changes in such a short period of time. It totally inspired me.
Nice, nice. I love it. I love it. And so before coming online, have you been entrepreneurial in the past? Like, is this something you sort of inherently have within you, you think? Or is this something that this like traumatic experience has happened in your life and you were just like, I got to make some money?
I think it's a combination of both. I definitely feel like I always had this entrepreneurial spirit in me that came from being a little bit of a rebel and just wanting to do my own thing, not really liking authority. My dad was an entrepreneur. He was, you know, he fixes cars. He's been fixing cars since he was 14 years old. So, you know, I watched him, you know, as I grew up, just, you know, grow his business and, you know, make a lot of money in his business. So I feel like it was always within me to do it. Before I started coaching, actually, I had also created a clothing company with my ex-husband. And that was really fun. So that was also kind of like my first taste of like my own entrepreneurial thing. He made the clothes and I pretty much did everything else. I did the sales, I coordinated events, I did all the social media. You know, I did pretty much all the back end business stuff. So yeah, I think it was always in me to do this for sure.
Nice. Having the dad that is in business himself, really, I think probably helps growing up seeing that. It probably helps you deal with some of the stresses of not knowing where you're going always. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you're ability to stand out, be relatable, be vulnerable is your one thing. Every expert now talks about the 80-20 rule. You're supposed to do 20% of the work, get 80% of the results. You're supposed to do what you're good at and delegate the rest. Jen, yes. Can you tell me something that you are not good at in your business?
Lots of things. Actually, I'm not good at a lot of things. And, you know, one of the things that's funny that I always say I'm not good at is sales. So even though I had, you know, a business where I sold over $500,000 worth of products last year, I sit here and say like, I'm not good at sales. And I really don't know if it's that I'm not good at it or I just don't enjoy it. It's just not my thing. So sales is definitely something, and I'm actually bringing on a sales team to kind of deal with that part as I grow my business and scale my business. Definitely that. I think also just being prepared and organized in advance. I'm very spontaneous. When I come up with an idea or I come up with something that I want to put out into the world, I am just on it. Like I create it and I put it out there and I really have no like prep work. So I actually do have a team now that kind of keeps me in line with stuff like that. Like Jen, you have to like, you know, do this in a certain way. We got to prep this. We got to make sure we have your lead pages ready. We got to make sure all this is set up. So they're kind of keeping me in line with that. Otherwise I'd just be out there putting stuff out there and not really worrying about the back end part of it.
Yeah. And fair enough. So two things. So it's interesting for you to say that you're not good at sales yet to do $500,000 in sales.
Yeah.
Does that just, how do you look at yourself and say that you aren't good at sales and yet be able to sell that much?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, for me, I'm definitely a little bit on the perfectionist side. I'm very competitive, especially with myself. So if I were to look back and say, oh, I could have had so many more sales, you know, if I just did something different or if I would have closed, you know, these deals and things like that. So I think that's a little bit of myself just being competitive and not feeling like it was good enough. And then also, like I mentioned, just not really enjoying it, just the sales process. I feel like most of the sales that I've done have all been like really organically, and it's been a result of the other things that I've done in my business, which is being relatable, being vulnerable, sharing my story, and having people really come to me first with already a connection to me. So a lot of the people that I, you know, ended up taking on as one-on-one clients, they kind of already knew that they wanted to work with me. And, you know, when we had would have a sales conversation, it was very fluid. It was very easy. And it was just pretty much like we're having this conversation for confirmation. Whereas there was some other people where it was a little bit of a struggle for me. So I think that's kind of where I see me, you know, quote unquote, not being good at sales and thinking that if I could master my sales a little bit more, then maybe that number could have been a little higher.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. That seems to be a pretty solid assessment of the way you work internally. And then you said like with projects or ideas and just getting an idea and taking and running with it.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's something that we need, I think, as entrepreneurs to a certain degree, but you're right. Can't run with everything. But I'm assuming that you don't just come up with like just any like ideas all the time and just try and run with all of them. There must be some, like, is there something within you that you get this feeling or this idea that this idea is the one and we're just going to run with it right now? Like, what is it? Like, do you look for, what is it that tells you that this is something that you should be doing?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's definitely usually something that is within me or like a gut feeling, or I would just like wake up in the middle of the night and have this idea come to me and feel like I cannot stop until I get this idea out. So, you know, there have been times where I feel like I've had, you know, some time to think or I'm in creative mode and I'm writing this list of like all of these things that I can do, but none of them are really like jumping out at me. But I remember in particular, I was in the middle of a launch one time. And I was launching a group program and, you know, sales were going okay, but they weren't going as well as I wanted them to. So I kind of, you know, looked within and I was like, what is missing? What, you know, what's going on? What do people want from me that I'm not giving them? And like, I was thinking about that for about 2 days. And then at 6 o'clock in the morning, I just like jumped up one day and I was like, this is what's missing. And I figured out what it was. And I literally launched a second program in the middle of another launch. And it was just insane, but it worked. Like I ended up getting, because they were so different, the ideas were completely different. One involved, you know, being like more one-on-one and hands-on with me, and the other one was group. So I had the people that wanted the group thing or maybe couldn't afford the one-on-one. And then I had the people that were like, Jen, we were waiting for you to come out with this. And I literally filled that program with 12 people overnight because I looked inside and I said, this is aligned. This is what people want. And I'm going to give it to them.
So do you often just jump out of bed at 6 a.m. with an idea and just go with it?
Not usually. I mean, those are the ideas that I know that I'm like, I have to do that. And I even remember that morning I had an appointment. I can't remember what the appointment was for. It wasn't a client thing. It was, you know, I had to go to a doctor's appointment or something. And I ended up canceling the appointment because I was like, I need to work on this. I need to get a sales page up. I need to get some emails out. I was just so driven with this idea that I knew I had to get it out there.
Yeah. And I love that. I love the idea of just jumping up, having that gut feeling and running with it, and then also having it work. But that takes us to, Jen, to this idea that, I mean, as humans and as entrepreneurs, one of our greatest struggles is that fear of being wrong and making a mistake, right? So you jump out of bed at 6 a.m., you have this great idea, you do it, except it doesn't go as successfully as you had wished. So can you walk us through, Jen, how to be wrong in your business?
Yeah, I think it's totally okay. Like, I feel like if that had happened and things didn't work out the way that I expected them, actually, I had no expectations, to be honest with you, with that one, because it was so like flying by the seat of my pants. But, you know, usually, you know, when something like that happens, and I've had stuff like this happen, you know, where I've put out a program or I put out something and I've gotten crickets. And, you know, I think it's totally okay. I think it's just an indication for us to check in and see where we might be wrong, to check in and see where we might not be aligned. I find that a lot of times when something doesn't work out as planned somewhere, like I am, you know, not serving the right people, I'm not speaking to them the right way, I'm not offering them exactly what they want or what they need. So I actually like being wrong sometimes. I say sometimes very lightly, because I really feel like, you know, being wrong is definitely a learning experience, especially for entrepreneurs. Like, we can't always be, you know, 100% all the time. I mean, maybe some rock stars can, but for the most part, we can't. And I think that every time we do something wrong, it actually brings us closer to what we're actually supposed to be doing. And it actually brings us closer to our purpose, which actually happened to me. And, you know, there was lots of things that I did wrong in the beginning, including, you know, working with the wrong people, marketing myself wrong. And, you know, just every time that happened, there definitely was a lesson in there. And I think, you know, there's something to be said for taking that and not letting it destroy you and totally just making it a part of the process and a part of the success.
Yeah. Can you expand on what you mean by working with the wrong people?
Absolutely. So this is something that it took me a while to really figure out. But, you know, when I first started, you know, even though I felt like I had a little bit of that entrepreneurial blood in me, I was pretty clueless about the online space. So most of the stuff, you know, I was used to doing was offline. So I wasn't really sure, you know, one of the first things you hear, everybody hears it all over the place is like, who's your ideal client? Who's your ideal client? You know, and this was something that I was so stuck on for a really, really long time. And I ended up just saying, you know, this is the type of person I want to work with. At first, I wanted to work, you know, helping women with their confidence. So essentially, the people that I wanted to work with had no confidence or had low self-esteem. But what I discovered was a lot of these people also had a victim mentality. And because of that, it made it really, really hard to work with these people. And it made me feel like I was doing something wrong. It made me feel like I wasn't good at what I was doing because they weren't open to receiving. So in the beginning, I was working with a lot of people that were not coachable, which made it really difficult. And it made me start to like a little bit resent the work that I was doing. So once I was able to shift and start working with somebody who maybe was still going through issues and maybe had a little bit of, you know, self-esteem issues, but wanted to improve and wanted to be successful, that's when things really started to shift, because now I was surrounding myself with people on a daily basis who wanted something more instead of trying to like wallow in their own kind of self-pity.
Wow. That's a interesting thing to realize. And I would think that probably early on you would think that you should be able to help these people become coachable.
Yeah.
Rather than just think that, oh, like you can't be everything to everyone, right? You have to mm-hmm. just do what it is you do. So are you like an advocate now for that find your ideal client?
I am, actually. And it's so funny because it did keep me stuck for a long time. And for a long time, I was of this, you know, mentality that like you didn't need to do that. And, you know, just you could help everyone and all that stuff. But now I really am. And, you know, when I have clients that come to me, or I have, you know, even peers that are struggling, you know, in their business, like, that's one of the first things I ask. And I maybe don't word it that way, like, who is your ideal client? But, you know, like, who is that person that, you know, that is just a perfect person for you to work with, that if you could clone her and have 10 of her, like, who is that woman? Like, what are her traits? What are her characteristics? Who is she as a person? So I think it really, really is important to understand who it is that you can best serve, who it is that you can get the most results from. And that just makes life so much easier. It makes your business so much more successful.
Nice. And I guess that ideal client it's changed once already, or at least once for you. Will it continue, do you think, to change as your business sort of grows and evolves?
Absolutely. I think it definitely has changed more than once for me. That was one of the big, big realizations for me. And then, you know, that actually helped me to kind of adapt. So now I know, you know, even if I have quote unquote a plan, you know, going forward, I'm very open to things changing. I'm never really rigid with the plan because I know that that's how things work. I know that as my business grows, I know that as I expand and as I grow as a person that, you know, I'm going to be able to help certain people differently or help certain people better. So yes, my ideal client has changed a couple times. I would say it probably changes maybe about every like 4 to 6 months as I learn new things, as I grow, like I said, as I get different kinds of training. And also just as I work with people, I start to realize like, yes, I really love working with this type of person or not so much this type of person. So I think it's definitely always evolving.
Nice, nice. And I like how you said how your business like plan, grow and expand. We're sitting like really early in the first quarter of a new year. Can you tell me how far out do you actually plan your business for growth and expansion?
So this is, I like this question and it's going to be an interesting answer. So I typically plan out for the year, but then I chunk it into quarters. So I have an idea or I know I have a goal for 2016 as far as income. I know what I want to make. I have an idea of, you know, how I can get there. So it definitely seems very possible for me. But I feel like every time I make that, it literally is changing like month by month. So because I'm adapting, because I see how things are working, things are not working and changing, I'm literally, you know, switching it up pretty much. But I still always write it down. I still always write out my goal. I still always say, you know, for this month or this quarter, these are the things that I want to achieve. These are my goals. But like I mentioned before, I'm never really rigid with those goals as long as, you know, the end result is the same.
Yeah.
Or should I say, I'm never really rigid with how I achieve those goals.
Okay. Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
No holds barred. It doesn't matter.
pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, I guess, how it has to be, right? So, all right. I want to wrap up on this last question then, because this idea of our goals that are always sort of like fluid and moving and adapting, like 1 month at a time, even as we push ahead, it seems that as entrepreneurs, we have these goals that no matter if it's like a revenue goal or any other sort of metric that we set or a personal goal, that right before we get to that goal and seem to accomplish it, we set bigger ones, loftier ones into the future, right? It's what we always do, which
yeah.
I agree we have to do this, but it's like walking towards the horizon. The more you walk, it just never, you never hit it. And so you sometimes get stuck in this weird sort of gap where you never, no matter what you've accomplished in your business and in life, you never see yourself as successful. So Jen, I would love it right now if you would stop and sort of turn around behind you, look at everything you've come through in your journey, the wins, the losses, the highs, the lows, but tell me how you feel about everything up until today.
I feel amazing. And I totally agree with your statement about, you know, always going for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. I am definitely, you know, of that type. However, I did learn early on that I do have to celebrate my successes. It wasn't something that I did before. And this was just, you know, because of my childhood and my upbringing, like nothing was ever good enough. You know, I was like a straight A student, but that wasn't good enough. You know, it was like, it was crazy stuff, you know? And, you know, I had that mentality when I first started my business, but, you know, I had some coaching of my own, some life coaching and things like that, where I realized that, you know, I have come extremely far in the last 2 years. I mean, it's just incredible. And I have learned to actually celebrate myself, celebrate my successes, keep track, even, you know, like we were saying, the metrics and stuff, like actually keep track of like all of my testimonials or when people send me nice emails telling me how I changed their life or how I've inspired them. And, you know, I really take all of that into account and I'm really very grateful for it. And I feel that that's also been a huge, huge part of my success is just recognizing and being grateful for all the things that I've done, all of the things that I've accomplished and all of the things that I have in my life and my business. And I feel like that's going to be the reason why I keep growing and growing.
Yes, that's awesome. And you should be proud and happy with what you've accomplished. So, Jen, we've got to talk about your business in passing, but could you specifically tell the listener where to go find out more about you and your business?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My website, jenscalia.com, super easy. And I'm also on social media everywhere at jenscalia, super easy.
Excellent. So Twitter and Facebook, would you say?
Everywhere. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Those are probably my top three.
All right. Excellent. We can do that. And so check out jenscalia.com. I'll find Jen's social media and I will link to that as well in the show notes so they're easy for you to find, as well as we'll track down a link for Rebecca Dixon and see if we can also put her into the show notes. But Jen, thank you so much for joining me today. I really, really do appreciate it. And just please keep doing what you're doing because it is awesome to watch.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jen, thank you so much for joining me. That was a blast. I love your energy. And I love what you've done in such a short period of time because it should be inspiring to other people that you have where you've come from to where you've gotten, and it hasn't taken you 10 years. And I can't imagine where you're going to be in 10 years if you keep up this momentum. But it was so great to get to talk to you. So I hope you out there listening enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. I'm sure you did. And I'm sure you have a page full of notes if you were sitting down and could take notes, or just ideas going through your head. And so I know that I do. And I have 7 things that I needed to go back and listen to, because I always like to find the things that my guest says that really sort of resonate with me and that I know will sort of propel me and hopefully you and your business forward as well. So I went back and I listened. And the second time I went through, I got it down to 5 things that Jen said. Then I got it down to 3 things that Jen said. And then there was 2. And the last time, there was this one snippet that Jen said that really, really, really hit home with me. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I remember in particular, I was in the middle of a launch one time and I was launching a group program and, you know, sales were going okay, but they weren't going as well as I wanted them to. So I kind of, you know, looked within and I was like, what is missing? What, you know, what's going on? What do people want from me that I'm not giving them? And like, I was thinking about that for about 2 days. And then at 6 o'clock in the morning, I just like jumped up one day and I was like, this is what's missing. And I figured out what it was. And I literally launched a second program in the middle of another launch. And it was just insane, but it worked. Like I ended up getting, because they were so different, the ideas were completely different. One involved, you know, being like more one-on-one and hands-on with me. And the other one was group. So I had the people that wanted the group thing or maybe couldn't afford the one-on-one. And then I had the people that were like, Jen, we were waiting for you to come out with this. And I literally filled that program with 12 people overnight.
And that's the hack. Jen. This I love. And I don't love it for its maybe surface reason of you launched something and made a whole bunch of money. That's awesome. Of course, that's awesome. But I love it. I love it like I love your story. The idea of being at rock bottom and not using that as an excuse, like so many people do. They want to use their position in life or where they came from or where they are as an excuse for not doing the things they want to do. You can't change where you came from. You can't change where you are right now. You can change where you're going. That's all there is to it. And not just in some inspirational way, but she proves this in this hack, right? So she decides to launch a coaching program. Sure, people do it all the time. Awesome. Maybe you out there listening have done something like this, and it wasn't going the way she planned. She wasn't making that many sales. What would most people do in this case? They get up the guts to put out this offer for a coaching program, and you hear crickets, and nobody buys. Most people would get so defeated that they would just give up right there. No, not Jen. What would Jen do? Jen goes for 2 days, and she just thinks about what's missing? What do people want from me? And instead of just giving up or just being defeated and being like, oh, what a failure this was or that I was, she creates another offering and launches it at the same time and sells it out. And I don't even care that she sold it out. That's not even the point. The point is that she does not quit. Right? If you go back to, it was in like my first, it was like episode 60 or 70. I'll find a link for it in the and put it in. But it's Oren Claff. He's a brilliant, he's the VC now. So he is a venture capitalist where he invests in entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs who he knows will succeed. And I asked him what it is when he's sitting across the table, tells him if an entrepreneur will succeed. He said it's very simple. Most people quit when they're tired. Entrepreneur that will succeed no matter what is the only one that quits when they're done. That is amazing. And this is Jen, right? She wasn't tired. She wasn't defeated. It didn't matter. All of that stuff. She wasn't done. She was like, no, what's the problem? What am I missing? And she found a solution to that and she launched something else and it was successful. Two products. Most people go through their life and never launch anything. Jen launched two at the exact same time. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thanks, Jen. That was an absolute blast. All right. So thank you so much for joining me. I super, really, totally appreciate it. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Get onto the email list. I know you'll dig it. I know you will dig it. You can even check out now the resources page. I have a new 21. All the tools. We literally put together a PDF for you of every single tool. I believe 18 of them are absolutely free that we literally run Hack the Entrepreneur off of every single day. Some of them are used every hour and every minute of the business. And I get asked this question so many times. So I created a cool free PDF for you that you can download right off the resources page. You'll see the 21 tools. Grab it. You'll dig it. And then you can also get access to my Sunday newsletter. The best work I'm doing every week is going straight there to those people and those people only. All right. Thank you. I appreciate you stopping by. I know you have a lot of options and I really so happy we got to spend this time together again. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.